Philippians chapter 4. And it's the words of verse 19 that we want to consider by the help of God this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 19. Familiar words, but I pray that the Lord will use them today. And despite their familiarity, that the Lord will bless them to our hearts today. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's just still our hearts in another word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help and for his presence with us as we come to his word. Our eternal God and our Father, as we come now to thy precious word, we pray, O Lord, that you'll write every word upon our hearts. We ask, O God, that we might hear thy voice. We pray, O Lord, that you'll come and speak to every heart. Come and speak to my heart. Come and bless us, Lord. Come and use us. Come and encourage us. Challenge us, O God, afresh. We pray, O Lord, that there'll be none left unchallenged or left blessed. As we would leave this place today, we pray, O God, that in all and through all, that the Spirit of God will help us to glorify and magnify thy great name. Do our hearts good. Take us, Lord, onto that higher plane with thee. Lead us into that closer walk. Help us, Lord, to love thee more. Answer prayer for us. Give us help as we preach. Give us help as we hear. And fill us each one with the Spirit of God and with power. In Jesus' name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. One of the great troubles and afflictions and problems, not only of God's people, but of all people in general, is the problem of worry. I'm sure there's not a person here today, but at some stage during this past week, you have been worried or concerned about some particular matter, some issue in your life. Some issue in your business, in your job, in your home, and there can be a multitude of different things that can cause us all to worry. We can worry about so many different issues. Some of them are very real, and some of them turn out in such a way that there was no need to worry about them at all. And no matter how strong we may feel at times, and no matter how strong we feel in ourselves, or whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can all be given to times of worry and concern. We can worry about the future. What will the future hold for us? And yet all the time the future is hidden from us, because God in his infinite wisdom does not reveal the future to us. He simply leads us every day. He takes us by the hand and asks us and commands us to follow him and to trust his leading. We can worry about our finances. How are we going to make out in difficult economic times? We can worry about our family. Matters in our family that cause concern and heartache. Struggles that our family go through can and do have a bearing and an impact upon us as well. You see, the list goes on and on, because in our individual lives we have many and we have various needs. And the meeting of those needs can often cause us to be overwhelmed and overcome with worry. How will this work out? How will that matter be sorted out? This thing seems impossible to be resolved. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul has been giving thanks to the Philippian church for their generous and their kind support to him personally and practically, and how that they were used of God to meet his needs. Through Epaphroditus, a very substantial gift to Paul was given. And Paul is anxious to thank the church for their kindness and for their generosity to him. And then he reminds them in the words of verse 19 that God, his God, would supply all of their needs as well, individually and collectively. I'm sure today that as you sit in this meeting, you have many needs. Your needs are different from someone else's. What you need may not be the same as what someone else needs, but nonetheless, we can say with the words of Scripture today, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And this morning, by way of encouragement and comfort to your heart, I want us, I believe the Lord has led me to this verse for some individual today that I know nothing about. I want us to consider this truth, this timely truth, this verse that brings before our mind a truth that oftentimes we can lose. But as we are called to pass through situations that we face and we do not know how we're going to get through them, we can see no way through them. But all the time the Lord comes and he reminds us, I'll supply your need. I'll supply your need. And folks, I know that on the face of it, this verse seems very simple. It's a very well-known verse, as we've already said. But folks, the truth that lies behind this verse is profound. The depths of God's provision that this verse reveals is profound, and it ought not never to be overlooked or minimized in any way. Very simply today, therefore, we want to consider the subject of supplying our need. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the divine source of this supply. The divine source of this supply. Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need. The divine source of the supply, the one who meets our need, is our God. Isn't a wonderful truth just to ponder for a moment? That our God supplies all our needs. Oh, thank God today I'm not relying on myself. We're not relying on others. Child of God today, you're not dependent on someone else to meet your needs. Yes, of course, there are those that God uses, his instruments, his channel of blessing, but ultimately and essentially, God meets our needs. It is folly and it is fatal to put our trust in man. It's folly and it's fatal to put our trust in the transient, fleeting nature of the things of this world, because they pass, they flee away. But isn't it comforting to know that the divine source and supply of all of our needs is the Almighty God of heaven and earth? The one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. The one who created this universe. The one who holds this world together by his power. The one who gives life to all of his creation and all of his creatures. The one who sustains life. The one who strengthens all life. Yet he is concerned about your individual need. And he meets that need. He is the one who supplies every need that his people have. There is perhaps a situation in your life right now, and it is causing you untold concern and worry. And it has been the source of much concern of late. And it seems that it's crushing you down to despair, and you can see no way through it. Can I remind you of one of the great Jehovah titles of our Lord? Jehovah Jireh. The Lord who sees is the Lord who provides. The Lord who provided that ram caught in the thicket in a most unlikely place in a most unlikely manner. Nonetheless, God met that need that day in Moriah. And it stands as a testimony and as a reminder that God still meets our need. You notice how Paul was able to claim there a very personal relationship with God. What does he say? My God. See, child of God, we can say that this God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who holds all things together by the word of his power, we can say he is our God. Because we have that saving relationship with him. You read through the scriptures and especially the writings of Paul, and you notice how that little phrase comes up again and again, my God. Philippians 1 and 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. It's not a wonderful truth to be able to state that through saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say this God is our God forever and forever. And he will be our guide even unto death. You see, the one who flung the stars into space, the one who spoke this world into its existence, the one who holds this world together, the one who is all-powerful, the one who is always present and always preeminent, we can say he is our God. We have been brought to God. We have been reconciled to him. We have been brought into that relationship with God whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We claim him as our own today. Through the new birth, through the work of regeneration. Now I know that in a very general sense, there is the overarching fatherhood of God. Because he has created us all. But there is then the very distinct. And there is the very different relationship that his redeemed people have with God. If you're saved today, you're no longer a child of wrath. You're a child of God. He is your heavenly Father. And he will care for you. Just as any earthly father should and ought to care for his children in a much greater sense. Our Heavenly Father cares and provides for us because we are his children. I wonder today, before we leave this point, can you say with assurance and can you say with certainty, my God? Can you call him your own today? Do you have this saving relationship with him? Because if you don't, the greatest need of your heart today, it's not temporal, it's not material. The greatest need of your heart today is spiritual. The greatest need of your heart today is for God to do a work in your heart, for you to be saved, and for you to be brought to God. And thank God that way that need was met as well. When God gave his Son to die on the cross at Calvary to save you from sin. The need of your heart and need of your life today is God's salvation, and that can be met. You must be saved. You can be saved. You need not be lost. Rather, you need to be right with God. And for every one of his dear people, for every child of God today, God meets all our needs. He whose power is without limit. He whose resources are without end. He whose supplies are infinite. He supplies your need. He is the divine source of all your supplies. I want you to notice not only the divine source, but further with me, the definite surety of this supply. The verse says, my God shall. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, folks, there's a very definite tone, isn't there, about that verse. There's no possibility of failure on the part of God to supply our need. There's no possibility of being let down or disappointed by God in this regard. You see, Paul was not hoping or wishing or saying that God will probably supply your need. No, he was saying beyond any shadow of any doubt, God will definitely supply our needs. That which we needed, God would supply it. There would never be an occasion when that supply would fail. There would never be a situation which would cross our pathway, but God was not able to supply that need. And when others fail, and when hardships come, Paul says, my God shall supply your need. And when the well runs dry and the barrel is empty, when you cannot, my God shall. When we can find no way of meeting our need, and when there seems to, humanly speaking, be no way of meeting that need, how blessed it is to know that my God shall supply. You remember the children of Israel as they wandered through the wilderness, and the food and the water was running out, the wells were drying up, and they started to complain. And there was no human way that their need could be met. There was no food for them. There was no water for them. The waters at Marah, they were bitter. And as far as they were concerned, God had forsaken them. Listen to their words of complaint in Exodus 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. All complaining to Moses, the man of God, how quickly they forgot the goodness of God. How quickly they forgot the tyranny they were under in Egypt. How quickly we can forget how God has been good to us. You know, if you sat down just for a few moments and thought prayerfully and carefully over what God has done for you personally, individually, in the week that has gone, I think you'd quickly realize that just a few moments we wouldn't even scratch the surface of what God has done for us. These people forgot so quickly that God was good. And as we made mention of some time back, God is always good. God is always good. In all of his ways, he is good. In all of his workings, he is good. In all of his wisdom, God is good. And he provided for these people. Oh, in spite of their complaining, in spite of their murmuring, he provided. He sent the manna. He sent the quails. He provided food that was sufficient, and he provided food that was adequate. He also provided water. He instructed Moses to strike the rock at Horeb. And out of that water, out of that rock, rather, gushed the water. That was unexpected. That never entered into the thinking of the people. That was never a way that they thought that their needs would be met. But you see, God doesn't work according to our thinking. God provides our need in a spectacular and a supernatural way. Manner. You think of that question posed over there in Psalm 78 and the verse 19. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? In other words, can God provide when there is no apparent way of such a provision being met? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. And yes, he did. And regardless of how he provides, the truth is still the same. My God shall provide my need. And that truth contained within the scriptures, that little nugget of gold there within the word of God, it's not simply a prediction. It's a promise. It's a promise. And God's promises are sure. God's promises are steadfast. God's promises are secured by his character, by his word, and by his oath. And as the wise man says over there in Ecclesiastes 4:12, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And concerning the promises of God, when God says, I will supply, He will supply. Has God ever failed you? Has God ever let you down? No, He hasn't. Nor will He ever fail His people. Nor will He ever forsake His people. The Apostle Paul, like every child of God, could speak from experience. He knew that the God who had been faithful to him in the past would continue to be faithful to him in the present and in the future. His trust was in his God to supply his need. The divine source, the definite surety, but notice as well there the deliberate scope of this supply. He says, my God shall supply all your need. Isn't that amazing? My God shall supply all your need. There is no limit to the supply of God's grace and goodness. It doesn't matter how hard a situation you're in, how difficult the situation may be that you have to face. There is no limit to the depths of the supply that God can provide. Every need, all your need, God will meet it. Now here we need to throw in a word of caution, because we can be confused as to what we actually need. We think we know what we need. We think we know the way in which that need would be met. But sometimes our need is not a need at all. Sometimes our need turns out to be something different from what we actually thought. But God knows what we need. And yes, there are many needs. Physical needs, God can supply it. Emotional needs, when we feel so low and we feel we have so little strength, God says, I'll supply that need. Material needs, food and clothes, financial, God says, I will supply it. In relation to this, I want you to turn over to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Thinking of how that God knows what we need and how that then God supplies that need fully. There are recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, some of the most beautiful words of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. That little phrase is there at the end of verse 32. I want you to mark it and I want you to remember it. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He meets our need. He meets them in a timely manner. We want God to work according to our time scales. We want God to work in the here and now. We want God to meet our need immediately, but sometimes God tells us to wait. God's delays, they're not denials, and through our waiting, God proves us and we prove God. He meets our need also in a total manner. Because when God meets that need, it's no longer a need. And when we think of that, turn back to Philippians 4. In the verse 19, you notice that little word there, supply. Supply. That word, the original word which is translated here, supply, in verse 19. It's translated in the verse previous, in the verse 18, I am full. Same word. Translated in our King James Version in two different ways means the same thing. I am full and supply. What does that mean? God is saying, I will supply to the full all your need. God is not meager in his provision. God will fill you to the brim with everything he sees that you truly need. God is a liberal giver. He giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. And all your need, God will supply. Before we leave this point, I believe that the greatest need that the child of God has, well, yes, we've been thinking of the material, the temporal. The greatest need that we have as the people of God is not material. God will take care of all that. The greatest need that we have is spiritual. The greatest need of my heart is for the infilling and the overflowing of the Holy Spirit of God. As God's people, we need to have that fresh baptism of the power of God in our hearts and lives. We need God to come and work in us and work through us. The greatest need in our individual lives is the infilling of the Spirit. The greatest need in our life as a church is the infilling of the Spirit. The greatest need as a denomination is the infilling of the Spirit. As a province, as a country, we need it. We need God to come. Folks, we are in a desperate situation. And we need God to work in a way we have not seen before. And as we approach our gospel mission in the month of April, I trust that you're praying earnestly that God will work and that God will meet that need, that God will stir up our hearts and that we'll see the great need that's all around us. And we'll see men and women not merely as trees walking, but we'll see them as people tramping their way to hell. We need God to work. We need God to move. We need God to fill us with the Holy Ghost and with power. And again, God can meet that need. In Luke 11:13, he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We were thinking of that truth, the need of being filled with the Spirit a few weeks back. And child of God, I want you to pray every day that God will fill you with the Spirit and with power. That God will change your hearts, that God will move in our hearts. Finally, as we close, the divine source, the definite surety, the deliberate scope, but notice finally in closing the deep sufficiency of this supply. What is the sufficiency of all our needs? What's the depth of that sufficiency? What's the strength of that supply? It's the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's the riches of God's glory in Christ. God is rich in every aspect of who he is and what he is. He is rich in the perfections of his nature. He's rich in the work of his hands. As Psalm 104:24, it puts that the earth is full of thy riches. He's rich in his grace. He's rich in his mercy. And it's according to the riches of his grace that he supplies the need of all his people. Notice the very deliberate wording of that verse. He supplies our need according to. He doesn't supply our need out of the riches, because that would imply that those riches then would be depleted. That as God would give to us, that somehow it would deplete the riches of God, but those riches can never be depleted. His riches can never be exhausted. They can never run dry. They can never run out. And folks, no matter how much God gives and gives and gives again, yet there is always a superabundance. We can never exhaust the riches of God's glory in Christ. Notice the means through which those riches are imparted: by Christ Jesus. He is the mediator of God's grace and God's goodness to his people. We have everything. We have all our needs met through Christ. Every need is supplied to us through him on the basis of who he is and what he has done. Our time is gone. But as we close today, can I remind you again that whatever needs you have, emotional, physical, material, financial, family needs, spiritual, remember the words of Scripture: my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Christian, today, don't doubt it. Don't debate it. Simply believe it. And take God at his word. And go into this week that lies before us with that promise ringing in your ear: my God shall supply all my need. May God bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for the great truth of thy word. We thank thee, O God, for the promises of God. Thank you, O God, of being reminded once again of one of the great promises of Scripture and how that God supplies all our need. And we acknowledge, O God, before thee that at times we don't even know what our need is. At times we think we know. But Lord, we thank thee that our Heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of all these things. And he who knows, he who sees, it's the same one who provides that need. And we thank thee, O God, that you supply our needs to the full. You meet all our needs perfectly, fully and totally. O God, we pray that today you'll help us to rest in that promise. Lord, whatever worries and whatever concerns may cross our pathway, Lord, help us to trust thee to meet our need. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless every child of God. Think of, Lord, those gathered with us today, still in their sin, not saved. We pray, O God, that you'll meet their need. Meet the need of their heart. Meet the need of their soul. Save them, O God, we pray. And bring them to faith and repentance in Christ. Bless every child of God. Encourage us along the way today. Bless our hearts and thrill our souls. Bless throughout the rest of this day. We ask, O God, that you'll bless the Sunday school in Hollywood. Bless the meeting tonight. O God, we pray that you'll come up with us again and bring sinners on to the word of God. Bless us, Lord, as we would linger a little longer around the table of the Lord. Help us to meditate and to contemplate on all that Christ has done for us. Bless our hearts and do us all good, we pray in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen.